Thank you. Thank you to Clyde and to the committee for having us up here. Thanks. On this topic, it's something that I think that we really don't talk about enough, and where we don't have as much activity from the private bar as we would like to see, because there's so much importance in this very narrow sliver of law, and it often these cases are in the shadows, and they're hard to get to, they're hard to learn about. But I think increasingly there's a role for private legal counsel, and my comments are going to be about the role of an attorney in adult protective services exploitation investigations. And then at the end, I want to talk a little bit about the role of the court as well. And so in my materials, they're under tab 20. My PowerPoint begins under the second, behind the second yellow sheet. And then I've also included, as the very last segment of your materials, the fiscal year 2019 second quarter APS legislative report, which will give you some statistics and some background on what is going on with the department right now in its investigations, not only exploitation, but in other areas. For those of you who are interested, that's a pretty good, concise snapshot of the present situation. I want to, in your materials, and hopefully I'm going to give you a few things that you can make some notes about that will help you in the 45 minutes that we have here to talk. I think about the best we can do is some issue identification, and that's what I want to try to help you do. Let me ask you, first of all, and I've asked this in the advanced elder law and guardianship course before, but let me just ask, how many of you have been involved in an exploitation case of some kind in your practice? Let me see. Okay, that's more than we had at the advanced elder law course. That's good to see. How many of you have been involved in representation of an alleged perpetrator in an exploitation investigation? All right, so maybe between 5 and 10 people. The number dropped dramatically there. These cases, as you can see in your PowerPoint, out of the 16,490 exploitation allegations in 2018, 94% of those were not validated. Now, there's a significant amount of underreporting. We know this activity occurs without it being reported to the department, but you can see that out of the ones that are reported, it's a precious few that are in fact validated. There are a number of reasons for that, and the issue of proof and meeting the preponderance of the evidence standard, capacity often enters the question, informed consent. It is a difficult, challenging area to determine whether there are in fact facts that support a finding of exploitation. As you can see here, 63% of the victims are women, 53% of the victims are Anglo. I'm just going to go through this information fairly quickly here. You can see by region, you can look at your region and see the number of reports there have been by region. These are actually validations. So there you see regions 1 through 5 and 6 through 10. You see that the bulk of the exploitation findings have been in Houston, in this region here. And so it's great that we have the other panelists here to talk about their experiences. I want to talk a little bit more about the role of legal counsel. The legal private counsel can get involved in a number of ways here. Can be privately retained by the alleged victim who calls you up and says, I've got this person from Adult Protective Services here, and I don't know what to do, or I'm scared to death, or should I let them in? That is one way that you can get pulled into one of these cases. Another way is through if there's a guardianship proceeding that is filed, and sometimes you see these APS investigations and guardianship proceedings on parallel tracks, you might get appointed in a case that has exploitation issues, either as attorney ad litem or as guardian ad litem. And either one of those roles will be very, very important in how that guardianship proceeding progresses. You may be involved in reporting an intake. When I was in private practice, there would be a handful of cases every year that I would call in to the department, often with a family member or some other concerned person being on the line and helping them articulate what the issues are for the intake person at state office. It's not unusual for an attorney also to observe something that requires a report as a mandatory reporter. And you may get involved also as an attorney ad litem in a Chapter 48 proceeding. And in that case, if APS brings a proceeding to the court, you may be appointed to represent the interest of the person who is the subject of that proceeding. And sometimes these have to do with exploitation or obtaining records or some other intervention that is sought by the department.